I love Psalm 139 or 138, verse 2, where it says that God has exalted His word above all of His name. And so tonight we are today we want to give a priority here to the word of God. And I pray that as the scriptures say, that it would wash us. He would wash us with His word. Mark chapter 12, if you do have your Bibles with you. We will be using those here this morning. Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through verse 33. We've been reading. We've been focusing in on verses really 30 and this morning 31 as we continue our part 6 here of this morning. We've entitled the message, Loving Your Neighbor as Yourself. We've been looking at for the last 5 weeks, loving God with all of your being. Well, let's read it together here. He says in verse 28, then one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, perceive that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. So when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared question him. Jesus is giving us really the simplicity of so many complex truths in the Word of God. Simple. Two things. Do two things and you're going to succeed as a strong believer. Two things you need to do to really live a life of godliness. Two things are given to us here that Jesus says. Now, this was a common truth amongst the Jews. In fact, I think it's Luke chapter 10 where another man comes to Jesus and Jesus asks him the same question and he answers the same way. It was something that was understood and known amongst the Jews of Jesus' day. You know, it is amazing how this truth, love the Lord your God with all that you are, and then second, love your neighbor as yourself. When we do those two things, that truly the whole burnt offering and sacrifices, in a sense, are filled there. It's the summary of the law. You know what I love about it is that we could look at the Bible and say it is a very big book. And it is. And it is more than a life to really understand the whole of Scripture. And that's so certainly true. Listen, I study the Word of God every week. And have done that for years and love doing that. And there's always more to learn and there's always more to grow in. And I always feel like I'm just but scratching the surface. Not just in my messages, which I always feel like that, but in my own studies, which go far deeper than any message that I declare. There's so many more verses and things that I'm looking into when I'm putting a message together, like this morning's message, than I'm going to present to you. There's just so much. The Bible is so deep and so wide, and so much is there. It's certainly not a shallow book or one you want to read through quickly and you're done with. It's the eternal Word of God. It's living and powerful. It's God-breathed. It's the truths of the eternal kingdom of God. It is a book with so much. And sometimes it can be very intimidating as we come to it. Even we starting, you know, the discipleship training classes and, you know, looking into the Word and what is a disciple. And we'll talk about the Word. In fact, we're going to do a whole course on how to study the Bible and how to do personal studies and really dive in and get truths out of the Word. But in it all, it can be very intimidating. But, you know, it's summed up in one word. One word the entire Bible is summed up in, the entire Christian life, and that word is love. And that's what Jesus is saying. And it is just a tremendous, tremendous encouragement to know that every one of us here, no matter what our Bible knowledge is, how much we know or how little we might know, that we all can comprehend this one word, love. Jesus makes it so simple. Now, in saying that, I'm not making an excuse for biblical ignorance by any means. We here at Calvary Chapel are committed to the study of God's Word. And hopefully this morning, I glut your soul with God's Word. That's my desire, that you leave this place just going, whoa, no more. It's enough Bible for me right this minute. I can't deal with it all. I can't take it all in and think through it all. And so, again, no excuse at all or a justification for ignorance. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the beauty of the more you know about the Bible, the more you'll understand what I'm saying. The more you understand the Scriptures and what the Word of God is saying, New Testament, Old Testament, you'll begin to see what Jesus is here drawing out and saying, here it is. This is it. First, love God. Without that, the second won't work. Catch that. You can't reverse the order. You can't go, there's two things. Love people and love God. No. There might be two things, but it's love God and then you can love people. Because you'll never be able to love people unless you do the first and love God. Because you don't have the capability of loving people as yourself without loving God. It's God who's going to love people through you. You know, this truth is so simple. It really is. Do you know my 3-year-old understands this truth? Again, this week, it's one of his verses now. Thanks to our children's ministry. I want to thank any of his teachers because he is a little Bible student. And Nathaniel, you know, Kevin tells me, always walks up to Nathaniel at church and asks him if he knows a Bible verse. And he's always popping up with a new one. When we started our study, I said that he quoted to me when I was sitting there on the couch reading before we started this. I was preparing for these messages. I just was reading the text there in verse 30 out of Deuteronomy. And he sits there on the couch and quotes Deuteronomy 6:5. And it took me 3 times after he said it 3 times to catch what he was saying. And I didn't even put the two together. I turned to Deuteronomy 6:5. Maybe God's got a word for me. This kid's speaking forth scripture. And I read it. Well, it's the quotation of Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul. And it's the quotation. Well, now he's saying to me, he's saying, love one another as I have loved you. John 13, 34. I can't even get it. But, you know, it's so simple that my little 3-year-old, and I'm not joking because I dialogue with them about loving the Lord and loving people. Dad, we just need to love him as he has loved us. And then, you know, he'll do his little quotation. And he's so cute, but such truth. And God just speaks to me in that saying, listen, a child can comprehend this. I've made it so simple, but so deep that a child could take this and understand I need to love people like Jesus loves me. And I can get that. And a scholar can spend his life of studying and thinking and working through the Scriptures and writing and explaining and never exhaust my word. And that's the beauty of God's word. And I just absolutely love it. And so here, simple truth this morning, Jesus presents to you and I saying, if you've got the first, then the second is like it. Why is it like it? Because it's summed up in one word, love. The New Testament has plenty to say about this. Turn with me to the book of Romans, would you? Romans chapter 13. In Romans 13, Paul says that and uses that very phraseology summed up. Listen to this. Romans chapter 13, we will read from verses 8 through 10. It says, "Owe no man anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet." Just the commandments there listed. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, quote, love, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. How beautiful this is. Love is summed up, are the whole of the law, all of the commandments are summed up in this love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Well, obviously, verse 9, he lists, don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness, and don't covet. And if there's any other, well, you just take those. Listen, all of those commandments, if you're loving your neighbor as yourself, you'll never commit them. If you're loving your wife as yourself, you'll never commit adultery. If you're loving others as yourself, you'll never commit adultery with another person. You'll never covet someone's things if you love that you want them to be blessed like you want it. You won't. It's just going to diffuse all of these temptations in your heart. You're not going to steal. You're not going to bear false witness. None of these things will be done if you love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what he's saying. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. How beautiful this is and how important it is. Now in the book of Galatians, don't turn there, but let me read to you from Galatians chapter 5, a parallel passage here to our Romans passage. Galatians 5, verses 13 through 15. And listen to this. Galatians 5, verse 13. "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Verse 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now catch this. All the law, verse 14, Romans or Galatians 5, verse 14, all the law is fulfilled in one word. Note that. That's why I said one word sums it all up. "Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." What's the word? Love. Love. Paul the Apostle says that one word fulfills all, sums up the entirety of all of God's commandments, and it's love. And according to Jesus, it's love in two areas. It's love for God, and then it's a love for man. And that's all we need to do. That's all we need to really be focused on. You know, I'm the kind of person that if you get me a couple things to be focused on, I can do them, and hopefully I can do them well. If you give me just a list of things, usually I can do them, but probably not that well. We'll just get them done. And I might forget a few along the way, especially if they're not written down. Two things you can remember. Here, let me sum up the Bible for you this morning, Jesus would say. Let me sum up the whole of your walk with God. Two things you can remember. Love God. That's what you need to do. When you wake up in the morning, you say, two things I need to do today. I need to love God, and I need to love my neighbor as myself. I need to love God, you probably should say, with all of my being. We've looked at that. Heart, mind, soul, strength. And I need to love my neighbor as myself today. I do those two things, and I will be walking with the Lord. And I will do what's right. And you know what? That's really easy. And you know, really, it's even easier than that. It's one thing, and that is love. I just need to walk in love today. I like it in this Galatians passage. It says, serve one another through love. Through love, serve one another. And then he says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Isn't that so true? Biting and devouring. You know, we use the word love often in our vocabulary. I know I do. I hear the word love a lot. But what I want to do this morning is define and really tear apart this phrase, love your neighbor as yourself. And that first word I want to tear apart is love. Again, we're just going to skim because I couldn't tear apart the phrase in one study if we weren't going to skim. But I want to throw some things out and trust the Holy Spirit is going to minister them to you. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. We all know the passage, chapter 13, the great love passage. You know, there's a difference between knowing about a passage, between knowing the Bible and allowing the Bible to really affect you. Open your heart right now. Open your mind right now to God's Word and just let it begin to minister to you. I could quote this passage to you, but I want to let it minister to me. I could just rattle it off, but I want to read it and let it minister to us. Verse 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. I read that. And I say, I know that. Then I say, Lord, I don't know that. We're defining love. Let just the Word of God speak to us today. As Peter said that he was going to leave his epistle to be a reminder to those after he had departed of the things they already knew and were established in. And I think we know and possibly are already established in agape love. But let's be reminded again this morning of what it is. And ask yourself right now, ask yourself the question, do I love people and love God like this? You know, I could absolutely defile this passage of Scripture right now by inserting my name or your name in where love is. We've done that before. I did it first service. When I read it, I was embarrassed when I inserted my name. I'm going to do it again. And be embarrassed one more time. Because it's embarrassing. You put your name in there. Where love is. Look at Trent suffers long and is kind. Trent does not envy. Trent does not parade himself. He is not puffed up. He doesn't behave rudely. Doesn't seek his own. He's not provoked. He thinks no evil. Trent does not rejoice in iniquity, but always rejoices in the truth. He bears all things. Oh, Trent believes all things, hopes all things. Trent endures all things. Trent never fails. I'm ashamed. That's wrong. That's not true. That means I'm not walking in love as Christ has called me to. I need the Lord. When I read that like that, I go, oh, Lord, God, forgive me. Just forgive me. That's the word. It's washing me. Just change me. That's just not me. But you know, the beautiful thing is we do have an example of who that is. Because that is Jesus. Because you certainly could say here in verse 4 again, Jesus suffers long and is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not parade himself. He is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, doesn't seek his own. He is not provoked. He thinks no evil. He does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Jesus bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Jesus never fails. Now that I can read with confidence. That I can read with some boldness there. Jesus never fails. That's love. Because it's Christ. And that's what love really is. Love is manifested to us, shown to us. The love of God. We have all kinds of definitions of love, but there is a true definition of love that goes beyond our world and is that definition of the love of God. And see, if you're loving God with all your heart, you're going to find out that God is love. And if God is love, then what's going to come out of you, if God is moving through you, if you are a witness of Jesus Christ, love is going to pour out of you. It's the most fundamental truth of Christianity, love. We kicked off this year on the 1st with a message out of 1 Peter chapter 4 on loving one another. That's what I said. I pray that our church would just be not just known for, but who we would be, who we are as a people. Love. It says there to love one another fervently with a pure heart. Because love covers a multitude of sin. And there's certainly a multitude of sin amongst us, isn't there? I know there is amongst me. And it's the love of God, isn't it, that covers your sin. And it's our love for one another, fervently loving one another, that is going to cover our sins. And it goes on to talk about being hospitable to one another without grumbling. We talked last week the word hospitality, befriending sinners. It's welcoming people in. It's loving those that you don't know. And that's Christ. That's the love the church is to possess and to be operating in our walks with Him, in our lives with Him. And I just plead with us this morning to hear this oh-so-familiar phrase, love your neighbor as yourself. And I plead with us to hear the depth and the beauty mixed together with the simplicity of just simply loving our neighbor as ourself. Well, who is our neighbor? That's the next word there. So we looked at love. Let's look at that word here in this, the word neighbor. And I want to really dive into it a little bit deeper next week, because this will be a part two of loving your neighbor as yourself. But just brief, let me say, your neighbor is everyone and anyone. Your neighbor, anyone around you. You know, in our American culture, neighbor is the person that lives on your street. But it's very clear in the Word of God that neighbor is much more than the person that lives on your street. Your neighbor is anyone that you come in contact with. The word is used in the New Testament in different translations that we have in our English. The word is translated differently. Some places it's translated neighbor in some translations. And in other places it's translated one another or others. For example, Galatians chapter 6, in verse 4, in the New King James, which I read out of, it's translated this way, that passage, Galatians 6, 4. But let everyone, or let each one examine his own works, that he might rejoice in himself alone, and not in another. And that phrase there, another. Now the ESV reads that end of that phrase, and not in his neighbor. So we find the word another or neighbor, same thing. Same thing. We find in the book of James in chapter 4, verse 12, it says, there is one one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? That's from the ESV. Now the New King James translates, who are you to judge another? So again, another neighbor. Or I like this one, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. That's the New King James, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 24. The ESV reads it this way. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Not only do we find the difference between others or neighbor there, but the verse speaks right to this point we're talking about. Not seeking your own, but seeking the good of others. So who's your neighbor? Your neighbor is anyone that is around you. Anyone you come in contact with. So Jesus is saying, love the world. Love everyone. That's exactly what Jesus is teaching. Now, as we examine, and let's go a little further, the word as yourself. So we've looked at love your neighbor, love, the love of God, agape love, your neighbor, everyone, anyone, as yourself. Well, let's define this love. What kind of love is Jesus calling us to love with? He's calling us to love with the love that we love ourselves with. And you know, I have never, ever, through all my years of pastoring and counseling and just ministering and serving with people, I have never yet met someone who doesn't genuinely, ultimately love themselves. We love ourselves. I mean, from the most depressed person, so discouraged and condemned and suicidal, they love themselves. And they might even say, I don't love myself, I hate myself. You love yourself, you want to get out of your situation. I mean, the very point of suicide has got to be one of the most selfish acts around. Why is it that you want to kill yourself? Because you're miserable and you love yourself and you don't want to do and live like you are, so you're just going to take your life. We all love ourselves. And listen, the Bible says we do. So don't be deceived thinking you don't. But you know, all of us do. That's the kind of love Jesus is telling me to love others with. That's deep. You know, there is no relationship here today that on the planet, even a great marital relationship or a parent-child relationship or some deep, awesome friendship, there's no relationship today here on the planet that is greater than the love you have for your own self. You know, people get divorced, kids are rejected by parents, reject parents, friendships are broken up, families are destroyed. But you know what? When it's all said and done, that person still loves himself. You know, think about it. We love because we're loved. A relationship, a husband and wife come together, and they love because they're loved. And, you know, even between child and parent, there is a love relationship there because I love this kid because they're mine. And that might even go deeper than even some marital relationships. So it ought not. But it might go deeper where, let's say you have a child who's being rebellious and doesn't love mom or dad and doesn't care about you. But you in your heart truly, genuinely love this child. Ultimately, you love yourself more than that love. It's a give and take kind of love. But with yourself, it's not give and take. I don't care what you do to yourself, you still love yourself. Listen, if I committed adultery on my wife and begin to just tell her, forget you, I don't care about you, and was really mean to her and unloving to her, it would affect her love for me. Yes, she's called to love me with agape love, but there's a limit that she might have. Even my own kids. If my kids, who I love, I think, with every fabric of my being and would do anything for them, if they just rebel and rebel and rebel and rebel and rebel and rebel, and I say I still love them, there would certainly be times that I'd want to kill that kid. And there wouldn't be this emotional or passionate love in my... I just am going to just destroy this child. But you know what? I don't care what I do to myself. When the day is ended, there's a love relationship still. It's a deep love. It's a real deep love. And it's the love God says, this is what I want you to have. It's the love of God. It's the only kind of love that we can possess that's a true biblical love. You know, the beauty of what Jesus says here about loving yourself, about loving others as you love yourself, is it's simplified, I think, in the words of Jesus in Matthew 7, verse 12. He says it this way, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. That's what he's trying to say. Whatever you want someone to do to you because you love yourself, do to them. Now notice what he says though, for this is the law and the prophets. Again, summary. It's all. It's do these two things, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, amazingly, Jesus redefines that phrase, love your neighbor as yourself, in the Sermon on the Mount. There in Matthew chapter 5, there in verses 43 through 48, Jesus redefines it. Listen to what he says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward is have you? Do not even tax collectors and sinners do the same? And if you greet your brother only, what do you do more than others? Do not even tax collectors do the same? What's Jesus saying? Jesus says, you've heard it said of old. You know the sermon. You've heard it said of old. You shall not commit adultery. I say to you, if you lust in your heart after a woman, you've already committed adultery. You've heard it said of old, do not murder. I say to you. And so Jesus is redefining the law here. He comes down to the end. This is the last one he does it. You've heard it said of old, love your neighbor. I say, and hate your enemy. Now, let me say, God didn't say hate your enemy. But that was a rabbinical teaching that had come about. But what does God say? Jesus here redefines. He says, you've heard it say, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I say to you, love your enemies. He took it farther. That's what the gospel does. That's the reason we are not under the law. Do you know that? When you're filled with the Spirit of God and He indwells your life and controls your life, you don't need the law. You don't need don't commit adultery when the fruit of your life is love. That's what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says there clearly, the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's the evidence of the Spirit of God. He goes on to, after listing joy, peace, patience, and down the list, and he says there, and self-control, and amongst such there is no law. Why? You don't need one. It's higher than the law. It's not lower. Grace doesn't lessen holiness and righteousness and a righteous life. Grace lifts it up. It's above the law. Listen, don't do this, do that. Well, love your neighbor and then add on hate your enemy. Oh, no, there's no room to add on hate your enemy when love your neighbor as yourself when you're really walking in that love. Who's your neighbor? It's not just the guy next to you and your enemies down the street. It's everyone. It's everyone. It's mankind. And so that's what Jesus here says. What does Jesus say here in this passage? He says, what credit, or as Luke says it that way, what credit is to you? He says, what reward do you have here in Matthew? If you love those who love you. Even the world does that. Sinners, tax collectors, and that was just the pagans. Do you realize today that today in the world, people do that? Oh, there is obviously a degree of love outside of the church. I mean, there are compassionate people outside of the church. There are relief organizations and I guess what we would call ministries, but organizations, as the world would call it, that are reaching out and touching and helping people that are compassionate, that have love. You know, he says, why do you only greet your brother? Because I know him, because he's my friend. He says he's trying to broaden it, take it beyond. What credit, what reward do you have if you love those who love you? Well, that's common. But see, Christianity isn't to be common. Christianity is to be lifted beyond the common ways of the world. There ought to be a something that identifies the church as supernatural, powerful. And the most powerful thing today that man can see is a true, genuine, sacrificial, agape love for mankind. What a testimony it is. And I have been able to see it firsthand in so many situations. And it is such an opportunity then to share the gospel as love. Love is a universal language. I've been in countries I cannot speak one word, not one word of their language. But through acts of love, we spoke so much and were able to prepare the ground to then, in their language, have someone else communicate the love of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ to them and have watched them embrace it immediately because of the language of love. But none of it will ever be done if you're not loving God first and foremost. What is it? We quoted it, fruit of the Spirit, evidence of your life. What is it? It's a manifestation of your love for God, loving one another. But you know that Jesus, he didn't just redefine love, but he demonstrated that definition of love. The passage that I shared with you that my little boy is going around our house right now quoting is there from John. Turn there with me. John's Gospel, chapter 13. Listen to what Jesus says. Because I would add on to this phrase, love your neighbor as yourself, with the words that Jesus used. As time went on, Jesus said this to his church. Now, Jesus, there in Mark's Gospel, he's not speaking so much to the church. He's talking to a scribe, the people. Now, when he speaks to the disciples, listen to what he says. Gets deeper. He says in John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Jesus here says a new commandment. And I think a good question is what's so new about loving one another? We just saw it. It's in the Old Testament. What's so remarkable about what Jesus is saying? What's so fresh and new to these disciples who are Jews who know these commandments? It's that phrase, as I have loved you. I would phrase it this way. Love your neighbor as Christ has loved you. That is a whole different kind of love. And I know we've been seeking to define love, but now it's really defined in the person of Christ. In the acts and works of Christ, it's defined. And notice what he says, how true it is. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. By what? By loving one another as I have loved you. All will know that you are my disciples if you have this kind of love one for another. Brothers and sisters, at this point we need to really hone in and we need to really examine our lives. And we really need to pray. That's what we need to do first and foremost. God, give me your love. You can't muster this up. You don't have it within you. That's why Jesus says you've got to love God first and then others second. Like it, but it's second. The chief is loving God. You cannot honestly love people as Christ loved them without loving God and without it being just the fruit of the Spirit of God in your life and the fruit of the very essence and person of God who is love. God is love. That's who He is. And if God dwells in you and abides in you, the evidence of God dwelling in me, the evidence that I'm a Christian, is that His love will be manifested through my life. So this now becomes very vital and very important. Jesus said to the man that asked him the question, you're not far from the kingdom. Because here's the thing, if you can love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself or as Christ loves you, you can know for sure, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. This is Christianity, church. I'm a Christian. What does it say there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in the first few verses? If you do this or do that, this great work, and you have that great gift, but you have not love, it profits you nothing. It says there, which really gets me, if you give your body to be burned and have not love, it profits you nothing. And I'm thinking, who's going to give their body to be burned without an absolute motivation of love? But I know it's possible. Maybe it's just out of a strong will or a great conviction. Listen, there's got to be an absolute love in our hearts for people if we're claiming to be disciples of Christ. And Jesus said that the world will know you are my disciples, that you're my followers, that you're like me if you have love one for another. So this isn't something we should just breeze over this morning and say, yeah, we should love one another. That's a good idea. This is the very heart of Christianity, and it's the very heart, the heart of the Bible. The love of God. The love of God towards mankind being manifested through the people of God. That's a summary of the Bible. And if the people of God love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and their neighbor as themselves, as Christ loves us, if the people of God do that, the word of God's going to go out. The will of God's going to be accomplished. The things of God are going to happen. It's amazing. It's simple. But it's deep, isn't it? It's powerful. Look what Jesus says in chapter 15. And John's got a lot to say about love. Chapter 15 here of the Gospel of John, in verse 12 and 13, he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have," there it is again, "as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend." Jesus now is defining what is this, what love does Christ have for us? What does he mean when he says that? How am I to understand that? Well, verse 13 says that it's this great love, to lay down one's life for his friend. That's what God is calling you and I to do. God is calling you and I to lay down our lives for other people. This is exactly what declares and manifests the love of God in Scripture and in real life, is Him laying down His life. This is the anchor, church, of your soul. When you get God loves me, not because things are going well, not because I'm happy. When you get God loves me because He died for me, you are going to be a strong, steadfast Christian. You are going to be unmovable. You will not be able to be swayed by the attacks of the enemy. And you will endure till the end, which Jesus says, which will be evidence, you are saved. So many Christians today are tossed to and fro by every wind of emotion and circumstance and point of suffering in their life. I'm telling you right now, this is such a heartbreak for me. Such a heartbreak as a pastor to watch people's lives literally be destroyed. Their faith be destroyed. And as Paul used the phrase, counted shipwrecked. They got in a shipwrecked sea and it drowned. They drowned it because they didn't understand or believe that God loved them based upon the cross of Jesus Christ and nothing else. Yeah. Nothing less and nothing more. The cross. When you can get that in your heart and put your faith into that, you are going to be a strong believer. There is nothing that will move you. You will be like one of those great martyrs of old that could actually have your flesh be on fire and lift your hands to God in worship, because you know right then when they're lighting the fire and they're going to kill your life that Jesus Christ loves you. Why? Because He died for you. Not because, well, why? If He loves me, why am I here? See, when we go to the Word, when we go back to the Scriptures, which, oh, the church needs to go back to, and we go back to what God says in His Word, we will find an absolute consistency in the Bible that the love of God is declared to the church by one thing and one thing only, and that is the finished work at Calvary. Nothing else. That never, nowhere, you can't show me one passage that tells me the love of God is based upon your situation on this earth. Boy, I'm sure glad Job knew that. And he didn't have the cross. All he had was, "I will stand on that day because my Redeemer lives." That's what he had. He didn't even have the cross like you and I have. But I'll tell you what, that's how he could worship God. Even when he didn't understand anything. When his friends came and told him, "Job, you're in sin. That's your problem. You're just all messed up. God's judging you." Job said, "I don't know what I've done. I don't think I've done anything. I don't even know God. I don't even know if I know God. But I know this, that my Redeemer lives and I'm going to stand with him on that day. That's all I know. But I'm going to worship." And when the news came to him, I mean, just one thing after another, you know, you think you had a bad day. You've never had a day like Job's, never. I have never yet met a person in this world that's ever had a day like Job. Hey, there he is, you know, getting up in the morning, offering sacrifices for his kids, worshiping Yahweh, praying, fasting, caring, loving God and the people around him. And all of a sudden, news comes to Job that his livestock is killed. All of it, it'd be like, news comes to you, you are absolutely bankrupt right now, you have nothing, and you are a really wealthy person. Well, that's a little more shocking. Some of you are probably right at the point of being bankrupt, so it's not too shocking to you, but Job, it was incredibly shocking. Every bit of financial security is gone. And then the next servant comes and tells of your kids. They're all dead. Everything's taken from you. Everything's ripped out. And Job, worship God. And he said this, those most penetrating, if you really understand this, words. Naked I've come into the world, naked I shall leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be His name. Wow. Wow, those are words from a man who knows God. Certainly wasn't a man who was raised in the American modern day church. Because that's not what people are saying today. And they ain't touched Job's life. They haven't gotten near it. You know, there are Christians right now from other countries and other cultures with a different worldview. Can I say a biblical view? That are being persecuted right now. And they're worshiping God and they know right now that God loves them and that's what sustains them. Do you realize, ladies, there are women right now that are being raped every single day of their life because of the gospel of Jesus Christ and they know God loves them? I think there are some things that we really have to think through and come back to that which is steadfast, immovable, and that's the Word of God. That the heaven and earth will pass away. My Word shall not pass away. And let me say this, and the cross of Jesus Christ will not pass away. And there is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, the book of Hebrews says. It's going to hold you, and it's the cross. It's the cross. It's the cross. Listen to what the Bible says about the love of God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "But God demonstrates His love towards us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." How does God demonstrate His love? Christ died for us. Listen to this. Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave Himself for me." He, notice this, loves me, what's the next phrase? "And gave Himself for me." Ephesians 5, verse 2 says, "And walk in love as Christ has loved us and has given Himself for us." Over and over and over again. Ephesians 5, going on in verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her." Over and over and over in the Scriptures. Clearly, how do I know that God loves me? The love of God is manifested in the cross of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus says, "Love them as I have loved you," no greater love has anyone than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. That's what he's talking about. That kind of love. Turn with me to 1 John, would you? Because John will go on about this great love of God and this love we're to have for one another. 1 John chapter 3. In verse 16 through 18, listen to this. And again, I've said this. If you have memorized, which hopefully all of you know, at least the reference to "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son." If you've memorized that, John 3:16, it's like ingrained in like the American mind. I mean, the unsaved can quote you that one. Well, One that goes with it real close. And it's the other side, God's love. Now, God's love revealed in the church is 1 John. So just add a 1 to John and you're there. 1 John 3:16, listen to what it says. By this we know love. Because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. This we know love. Again, how do I know love? How do I know the love? Laid down his life. And therefore, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And now he defines what that is. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Whoa, that's a deep question. Now, John's going to develop what he's talking about. What he's talking about is being saved or professing to be saved. He's talking about salvation. He says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. By verse 17 and 18, by this, we know that we are of the truth. We know that we are born again. And shall assure our hearts before God. If we love with the true agape love, like Christ did. It's the evidence of being a Christian. Look what he says in chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. The very point. God is love. And if you're born of God, you're going to have the love of God flowing from your life. I really pray we listen to this. This is real important. We can say all we want. I'm a Christian. I've been raised in the church. Well, I know those Bible verses. You can know them all day. But have they affected your life? And does the love of God, is it manifested through your life? And how do you know the love of God? How do you know the manifestation of the love of God in your life? That you lay down your life for others. How do you practically do that besides jumping in front of a bullet and dying for someone? If you have this world's goods and see your brother in need and shut up your heart, he says, how does the love of God abide in you? My little children, let us not love in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. A genuine, true, agape love that has action behind it. Oh, it's powerful. Look there at chapter 4 again, going on, verse 9. In this, the love of God, here it is again, was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Again, the cross. Anytime the authors of the New Testament want to talk about the love of God, they go right to the cross. That's the evidence. Beloved, if God so loves us, we also ought to love one another. Look what he says going on. Verse 20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. I mean, John, I didn't say it. John did. I didn't call you a liar. If that's you. John did. John's saying the evidence of being born again, of being a genuine Christian, is loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Loving your neighbor as Jesus loves you. Brothers and sisters, is love important? Is it a big deal if we're a loving church or kind of a loving church? If we miss love, we miss the essence of Christianity, and we don't know God. And that's what the Word teaches. And I know that's challenging, and it's supposed to be challenging. And God is challenging us as a people today, challenging where we are, challenging us in our culture, in the society we live, challenging us with His great love. God has blessed us, people. He's blessed us with this world's goods beyond our comprehension. He's blessed us greatly. He cares for us. He loves us. And He wants us to experience Him. You know, I think one of the things that really stuck, not much stuck from what my mom taught me as a kid. I'm pretty thick-headed. A couple things stuck. One of them was you need to repent and get saved. And Trent rhymes with repent. That stuck. Trent, repent, you know. You need to get right with God. You live this life, you're going to hell. Right? Those things stuck. But one of the truths my mom would always... And my mom, if you know her, she just repeats herself all the time. She says the same thing, just keeps saying the same thing. You know, and that's how you teach kids, and that's how you teach adults. And that's how God teaches us. You know, that's why when He calls a guy's name in the Bible, He'll say, you know, Abraham, Abraham. You know, he's got to repeat it. And repetition is good. But this is one thing she would repeat often. Trent, you want to know how you spell joy? You spell, and it wasn't just because I was dyslexic and she was trying to help me spell the word joy. But you spell it J for Jesus, O for others, and U for you. When you put life in that order, Jesus first, others second, and you last, you'll experience joy. And you know what? That is such a truth. And that is so, and I have to give my mom this, because there were some things after I got saved I told her that weren't in the Bible. You know, like something like God loves those who help themselves, or God helps those who help themselves. And, you know, I destroyed a lot of her sayings. But this is one of the sayings that I could say, Mom, that's a biblical saying. That is sound doctrine in that saying. And how true it is. And hasn't God made life that way? Because what I'm talking about today isn't a life of just labor and toil and sweat and servanthood to all everyone and others and God and people. And I'm talking about a life that God has created you to live. A life that is full. A life that is filled with the joy of God. A life that has satisfaction in it. That a life that is deep. A person that can handle life. That when trials come in, they stay steadfast because Jesus loves them and they know it. And they're still manifesting in their own hurt and pain. They're still manifesting the love of God to others because they know when you put God first, when you put Jesus first, you put others second, God's going to take care of you. You'll be okay. When you die to yourself and you do what Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all you are and love your neighbor as yourself, you find the reason that God has created you for. You find the joy of the Lord. And it's so beautiful because in Nehemiah it says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And how much encouragement joy brings to someone's life. How much life it breathes into you. That God's joy is your strength. Brothers and sisters, we are going to be a church of life, a church of joy, a church where the Spirit of God is moving when we recognize that God has called us to one thing, and from that one thing, everything will birth out. And that is love. To just love God and love one another and enjoy it. You know, it's been a theme that I've been trying to reiterate through my life in the last year, in my house, amongst my kids, with my wife, here at church, amongst the staff. Guys, let's just enjoy the Lord. Hey, just enjoy God. Relax. He loves you. He died for you. Just love Him and enjoy loving Him. And I'm talking about in difficult situations. I'm talking about when you're tired. When the staff who's labored and labored and labored, and I see them with red eyes because they're tired, and I'm tired with them. And just say, you know what? We're tired. We've got some things we got to do today. And let's enjoy that. Let's not miss Jesus in it. Let's not let it become a burden, a duty, a job. But let's enjoy the Lord. And in my life and in your life, in my devotional life when I'm tired, in my prayer life when I'm tired, in the things that I do and the things that you do and you're just tired and you just, God, I just want you to pause for a minute. And I want you to love God and I want you to enjoy the Lord right now, right where you are. Just enjoy the Lord. In the trial, enjoy the Lord, that He's there, that He's with you. God's on the throne. God's in control. Just relax for a minute and learn, train yourself to enjoy the Lord. Just love God, I say. I tell my wife, honey, you know what we need to do right now? I say, love God. She looks at me like you're crazy. We just need to love God. You know what I need to do when everything seems like it's falling apart? Just love God. He's easy to love. It's the thing about God. He's not hard. It's not hard to love God. It's harder to love you. I have to confess. He's perfect. Always gives me love back every time. And when I'm a jerk, He's godly. He's God. God is easy to live with. God is easy to love. God is easy to follow. His commandments are not burdensome. As John will go on to say in chapter 5 here, God is easy to love. And to love God and just let God love people through you. And that's ultimately what it's talking about. It's just the love of God that abides in you is going to come out of you. And enjoy that. Oh, it is such a joy to love people. It is such a joy. It's such life. It brings such life to you. It does. Just minister, just loving because it's God. It's the heart of God. You've just entered into a partnership with Almighty God of loving His creatures whom He loved so much that He died for them. And He's given you the privilege to share His love with them. What a joy it is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ today. Love the Lord. Love the Lord tomorrow. Love the Lord every day. When you wake up every morning, two things you need to set in your mind. Today, Lord, I want to love You and love people. And Lord, help me to just enjoy You in the midst of it all. No matter what this day brings me, no matter what yesterday was, no matter what state my heart might be in, Lord, here I am again. And I just need to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, and with all my mind, and love my neighbor as myself. And in it, all the law and the prophets hang. And in it, all will be fulfilled. Let's pray. Lord, we just so thank You, God, that Your word is so clear. Lord, we've touched on some passages today that there are more, and there's so much more that could be said about each and every one of them. Help us, God, to get it. God, we ask for Your assistance. We recognize, God, that knowledge is deceiving and has the ability to puff up. But love edifies. And even the knowledge of that we have about Your love, God, we pray that it would be knowledge that is practical and knowledge that turns into worship. That our doctrine truly would be doxology, and that, God, You would be glorified and You would be magnified. We bless You, Lord, and praise You. And we just want to honor You, God, with all of our being and all that we are. God, I pray You bless our fellowship today at the picnic, and pray, God, that we just have a great time. God, we pray You bring the sun out. But God, if You do or don't, if You rain on us, God, we know You love us. And we just thank You for the opportunity to worship You today. And God, I just pray You'd move in Your body, and that we would be a church that has fervent love for one another. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.